Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I want you to look in John chapter 7, John chapter 7, at verse 17. Actually, we'll start in verse 14. "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having studied?' Jesus answered, 'My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus said that if anyone really wants to know, if anyone chooses to do God's will, then he's going to know what God's will is. He's going to know whether or not the words Jesus is speaking are in fact the word of God. Now, in the NIV, which I just read, it says he will find out. If you check the various other translations, for instance, the ESV, it gives the conclusion of that search. He will know. That's the way the King James translated it. That's the way the ESV does. And the reason is because that's more literal. Okay? It's not just saying he'll embark on a search. That he will do. But it's saying that he will come to a conclusion. He'll find out. He's going to know. He will know. John 17, verse 7, Jesus is praying for his followers. And he says to his Father, "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." God promises, if with all your heart you truly seek me, you will ever surely find me. If anybody wants to know the truth, God makes the truth very available. The problem is, many times people don't really want to know. You see, if I know that what God says is the truth, and that this is what God says, that impacts not just my life, but my relationships with others. I can no longer be comfortable with the notion that everybody's going to go to heaven eventually. Because God says no. Jesus says there will be those cast into outer darkness. Jesus says that the suffering will not end. Well, that's just a... I don't like that. I don't think that's good. Well, tough. Person after person in our day has abandoned the authority of Scripture because that was the only way that they could embrace the legitimacy of things that God calls sexual immorality. If I believe what the Bible says is true, then I have to accept the fact that what my brother or my sister or my parent or my child or my friend is doing is an abomination to God. And I just really don't want to believe that, because I don't want to fracture in our relationship. And so I will shut my ears to what God says. I will refuse to believe what God says, because I love this person. You should. But you shouldn't love them more than you love God. And you shouldn't love them more than you love truth. Because no matter what a person believes is true, God's truth triumphs. And so if you just don't believe in gravity anymore, you will find that if you trip, you will still fall. And that if you want to float up to the ceiling in a moment of ecstasy, it's not going to happen. And if you eat a dozen donuts, you're going to gain weight. Even if you think positive, it doesn't change reality. And God's Word, the Bible, tells us the truth. So if I just don't believe it, does that change anything? It just impacts my sanity. I want you to understand we're dealing with the difference between truth and lies. Satan comes and says, did God really say that? Oh, he said that. Well, it's not true. It's not true. The script hasn't changed. The script hasn't changed. He's still doing the same thing today. That is why at the heart of the Reformation is the Word of God, the authority of the Scripture. That's why the Roman Catholic Church didn't want the people to have a Bible in their own language. Because if people start reading the Bible for themselves, they might not want to buy their way out of purgatory. And we need to keep the people ignorant so that we can exploit them. You see, it didn't just impact the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church when people started reading the Bible in their own language. When people started reading the Bible for themselves, it changed everything politically, and therefore political and military forces could be partnered with church hierarchy in order to persecute those who wanted to have the Bible in the language of the people. So what you're saying, Pastor, is that Martin Luther really is the guy who changed everything. No, actually, God was at work generations before Martin Luther. One of the earliest pioneers in spreading the truth was a man by the name of Peter Waldo. He was born in 1140, apparently in France, and he died about age 65 in Italy. He died in 1205. He started a movement. He had followers who went around reading the Bible translated into the language of the people. Luther wasn't the first. Luther was a guy who came along at a time when the German people could have the Bible in their own language because Luther translated it for them, and the printing press had been invented so that copies could be made for people. Peter Waldo lived centuries before. But some of the things that got him in trouble with the authorities, well, he wanted the people to have the Bible in their language. He wanted them to be able to understand it. That was problematic for the church. We see, it was especially problematic because Waldo also saw that the church was using its position in order to enrich those at the top while keeping the people impoverished and dependent. And one of the ways the church was doing that, even before the time of Martin Luther, centuries before, was they were selling indulgences. What is an indulgence? We said last time. That's a scheme that the church came up with to tell people, instead of offering forgiveness to those who repent, it says, if you pay us, you can be forgiven. We'll take your money and we'll give you God's grace. That's not grace if you're paying for it. Now, I will say that the Roman Catholic Church stopped selling indulgences decades after Luther. Okay? They did eventually get embarrassed about that. But you can still get indulgences from the Roman Catholic Church today. Only now they don't take money for it. At least they're not supposed to. Instead, they'll give you things to do. You do this and you get an indulgence. You get indulgences by praying the rosary. You get indulgences by other acts of penance. They even have a formula for how many indulgences you can earn in how long a period of time, because they're trying not to let this thing get crazy anymore. It's crazy. It's crazy from the get-go. Because the Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to pay me or anybody else to get forgiven by God. But you do need to stop trying to justify your behavior. When I confess my sins, I'm not going to God and just giving him a list of my behaviors. I'm agreeing with him that what I was doing was wrong. How do I know it's wrong? His word. His word tells me, don't do that, do this. If I do this or I don't do that, I'm sinning.
Well, if you sin, can you still go to heaven?
Yes, but only because of what Jesus did at the cross. The basis of our forgiveness is not what we do. It's what he did. We are forgiven by God, by grace, which we receive through faith.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and is holding out his hand. Peter Waldo was a man raised up by God to proclaim the truth centuries before Luther. His followers, the Waldensians, are a tiny little minority today, but they still are around. There was a fellow over in England. He was a philosopher. He was named John Wycliffe. English scholastic philosopher, theologian, biblical translator, reformer, Catholic priest, and seminary professor at the University of Oxford. He died in 1384, having translated portions of the scriptures. Wow. It's a long time before Luther. Well, William Tyndale was a guy who would follow behind. An English biblical scholar and linguist who became a leading figure in the Protestant Reformation in the years leading up to his execution. Well known as a translator of the Bible into English and was influenced by the works of prominent Protestant reformers such as Martin Luther. So, anybody else in there? Yes. Jan Hus. We often call him John Huss. Somebody here will write a report on him. He died on my birthday in 1415, a little before I was born. Jan Hus was well before Luther, and his prayer was that God would raise up somebody else, and 68 years later, Luther was born. Because God kept raising up people, raising up people, raising up people in order to discover and proclaim the truth. God's truth doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. And one of the things, I mean, that different countries, different languages, French, Italian, German, English, Czech, but what they had in common was that God did a work in their hearts and convinced all of them that His word is true and that people need to know what it says. And as people discovered what the word of God says, some of them repented of their sins and put their trust in Jesus Christ, who alone can save. Jesus said, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will know whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." Will you choose to do God's will? Will you say, "Lord, whatever you want, I want to do your will"? Jesus says to you, you need to count the cost. Bunch of those guys whose names I mentioned died a martyr's death. There were people who came after Luther's time who were martyred. Why? Because the forces of darkness don't want people to know the truth. They don't want people to know the truth. They don't want people to know what God says. They don't want people to believe that it's God's word. We are not dealing just with flesh and blood. We're dealing with the forces of darkness, with the father of lies, who has spent his entire career on this planet trying to get people not to believe that God's word is trustworthy. The Reformation isn't over. God is still bringing change among those who claim to be his followers and calling them to know his word, to believe what he says, and to obey it. And if we obey it, there will be hostility, there will be mocking, there will be people who call us the haters, who say that we are failing to love our neighbor. If you've known me very long, you've heard me tell about the tumor in my neck that had to be removed years ago. I go to that illustration because, for me, it is an example of a doctor who loved me enough to tell the truth. He said, that needs to come out. He told me the truth. He didn't just tell me what I wanted to hear. He told me what I didn't want to hear, but what I needed to know. If you love somebody, love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. You know 1 Corinthians 13. It's what's known as the love chapter. It tells us what love is all about, what love looks like, how love manifests itself. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. How can you possibly love somebody and tell them that what they're doing is wrong? How can you possibly love somebody and not tell them what they're doing is wrong? If a person is anorexic, do you tell them, you want to lose some more weight? Wow, I really admire you. What a brave thing. Keep it up. No! If a person is anorexic, you try to prayerfully, lovingly point them to the truth. They don't need to lose weight. They need to stop starving themselves. You ever see the shows on TV? I've never watched a whole episode, but I've seen enough to make me nauseous. I think it's called My 600-Pound Life or something like that. And you got people that are so huge they can't get out of bed anymore. But there's always somebody who loves them, who brings them what they want. Nobody gets that big on their own. There's always an enabler. There's always somebody who's saying, you want what? Okay, I'll do it. That's not love. It's not love. Our world is going to hell. That's not a new thing. It's been that way since the garden. Throughout human history, people have denied what God says, gone their own way, and the consequences have been tragic. Generation after generation after generation after generation. It's human nature. That's why we need a Savior, not a book of how to do better. We need a book that points us to the one who came to save us, because we couldn't save ourselves. And the Bible is that book. It is God's word to us in which he says, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world but so that through him the world would be saved. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You want to know the truth? This is God's word. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will know whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.